This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, continuing with the prophetic traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, in the 10 plus ahadith that we've narrated or discussed so far, will be fadlillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these various ahadith in general talked about the foundation of Islam. Amma min bab al-ikhlas, we're talking about sincerity, we're talking about hadith Jibra'il alayhi salam, the famous hadith of Jibra'il alayhi salam, or the following hadith talking about the pillars of Islam, Bunya al-Islam wa ala khamsin. And then from there we moved about to talk about the shubuhat, doubts and desires that can occur. These are all technical discussions that we find. And thus we find that after these 12 ahadith or so, that Imam Nawawi begins to collect certain ahadith which begin to talk about practicality, the practical living and application and implementation of al-Islam. Because many of us, we can sit there and read textual books and evidences about aqa'id, about belief, about the Qur'an, about theology, but yet we find that sometimes this does not develop into practical application. This is where many of us Muslims, we fall short. And we contain a lot of technical academia metric, but when it comes to the everyday living of Islam, we find more and more many of us begin to slip away or fail to understand the impact of the Quran and the impact of the traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because Islam is about perfecting one's iman or reaching a higher level of iman, and as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, his hadith that we want to discuss today raises the level of iman, shows us what really iman is. That iman isn't just the pillars of iman that we study, arkan sitta, the six pillars of iman, or the belief of Islam. Iman is far beyond that, and deeper than that, and a deeper penetration. That the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentioned, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِيَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ. And possibly many of us have memorized this hadith, or if not all of us are familiar with this hadith. None of you truly believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. لا يؤمن أحدكم. That person does not believe. Does not have the right belief. And all of us, we are familiar with this hadith. What does this hadith entail or mean on a daily basis for many of us average Muslims? As I began with many of us, we read through the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, but we fail to find an application or that penetration. The first thing that we mention about this hadith is when certain words are used inside a hadith of a nafi, of negation, la yu'min, person does not believe. Because sometimes we find certain individuals begin to negate Islam. When certain hadith are mentioned in a strong context, it is not for us average individuals, we mention time and time again, to read a hadith and begin to apply it upon another individual. If a hadith for Muslim says, Ayatul Munafiq Thalath, or Thalathatun, the signs of a hypocrite are three, or fi ba'd riwayat, we find four signs of a hypocrite. Person shouldn't skim over the hadith and read it, and then see a deficiency amongst their Muslim brother or sister, and then say, this is a sign of a munafiq. أَنَّ هَذَا الشَّخْص بِعَيْنِهِ أَنَّهُ مُنَافِقُ. This person specifically is a hypocrite. لِمَاذَا? Why? Because I read this hadith, and the hadith states the following, and this person fell short. This is the biggest downfall we have amongst many of us Muslims at the moment, khasatan fil gharb, in the West. The only thing that we look for is downfalls of an individual. And to pick on those downfalls, to exploit those downfalls of an individual. Fuqaha mentioned that even you see a person who may look like in a state of drunkenness, even you smell their mouth, still you should question your own self before becoming judgmental. And this happens to be the public domain, then a person can make a judgment or make a statement about that individual. But in a state of privacy, a person should always be seeking excuses for them, for that individual. And when a person even meets such individual, you find the sirr, a hidden concept, a person should be making dua, supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That praised you are, glory be to you, you protected me from not falling into such ma'asi, such disobedience, such fisk wa fujur, disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You protected me from this. That's how a person should be approaching individuals and visualizing on a daily basis, committing ma'asi, disobedience, and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the Prophet alayhi sallam mentioned, لا يؤمن من لا يأمن جاره بوائقه, that person doesn't believe whose neighbors are free from the harm of that individual. The person doesn't believe. Many of us Muslims, we harm our neighbors. We oppress our neighbors, we're rude to our neighbors. إن كانوا من الكفار أو من المسلمين, happen to be from disbelieving individuals, Muslim individuals. Neighbors complain about us. Hadith states that person does not believe. That person is not a believer. Like the hadith that we find, لا صلاة بحضرة طعام. There's no prayer if food is presented for the individual or the person has the call of nature. And here such a hadith should be once again placed inside the context. Because many of the average individuals, every time food is presented to them or they have a call of nature, they say, I will pray at a later stage. Qasr than Salat al-Isha, the night prayer. That food is presented to me, so I'll delay the prayer, pray at a later stage. And this becomes habitual. Here you find La Salat bi Hadrat al-Ta'am, the ma'na jur, excessive hunger, it begins to disturb your prayer. If it means two or three times in a week that you miss Salat, Salat al-Isha bil Jama'ati, you miss praying Salat al-Isha with the excuse that you're hungry or you need to eat, that's not a sign of a complete believer. It's a real occasion, a person could have been travelling, or a long day, or the food is delayed, it's presented, a person may decide to then delay Salat al-Isha, or not pray inside the masjid. Likewise, if I am la yazni azani ina yazni, wa huwa mu'min. A person who commits zina, whilst that person is committing zina, he's still classified wa huwa mu'min. That person is still a believer. Well, he's not a believer at that moment in time. That's what Abu Hurairah mentioned, when a person commits this haram, evil action, and he continues, وَهُوَ يَشْرَبُ الْخَمَرُ, person drinks alcohol, or وَهُوَ يَسْرِقُ, person stealing, that person is not a believer at moment in time. Person is not a believer. What does it mean that person is not a believer? All these ahadith. Abu Huraira mentions that at a moment in time, that person's iman is lifted, hovers over their head. When they complete that evil action, the iman comes back down inside their heart and their mind. These ahadith, لا يؤمن, don't mean the person has become a disbeliever, a total disbeliever. No one should classify an average Muslim as a disbeliever when they commit sins. Because this is min bab al-ghulu. This is from extremity that we find. There are two signs of extremity that we find that destroy this Muslim ummah. Al-ghulu fil ahkam, to be excessive in rules and regulations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa ghulu fil ashkhas, and to praise certain personalities or certain individuals. Hatta min kana Rasul alayhi salatu salam, to excessively praise the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, to praise his family members. These are two extremities that you find that still exist, unfortunately, in Muslim ummah. Amma al-ghulu fil ahkam, to be excessive inside the rules and regulations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person falls short, when a person doesn't carry out such ahadith, or fails in such ahadith, you find that people begin to state, or some people begin to state, this person fell short, فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ. This person disbelieving in the middle, فَدَمُوا حَلَامٌ. This person's blood becomes halal. هذا غلو في الأحكام. This is excessiveness or extremity in the rules and regulations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. من العوام, for the average individual, is not allowed for any average individual to judge the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No average individual can come and pluck and say, this verse means this, this hadith means this, so I'll apply it upon such and such an individual. As they say, no person can take the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their own hand. Allah places certain individuals, places a mahkama, places a court, places a system, places hukam, places individuals who are placed inside that authority to implement the laws, and places that sultan, places that amir, places the leader who begins to make tanfidh, to implement these laws and regulations, not for the awam, not for the masses of average individual,
أن هذا الشخص قد سرق فنقطع يده. This person he stole, so in our own sanctity, in our own environment, we chop off his hand, amputate his hand. This is the Sharia of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. This is not the Sharia of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. That in your own vicinity, in your own locality, in your own proximity, you say you implemented laws of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. This is ghulu fi al-ahkam, ghulu, extremity in the laws of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. Then you find al-ghulu fi al-ashkhas, to praise certain individuals. هؤلاء الخبثاء الروافدة الغلاة الشيعة الاثنى عشرية. These days are fast approaching upon them. The days of Muharram that we find. These are individuals غلو في الأشخاص. Extremity that we find in certain personalities that you find. حب أهل البيت. Only love certain members of the Prophet عليه الصلاة. And begin to classify every single other companion. Every other companion. ركزوا على هذا. Every other companion except for the household of his members are all kuffar. Are all disbelieving individuals, treacherous individuals, hypocritical individuals. They were concealing nifaq. This is their creed. Rasul aqidati, the essence of their creed. That no one doubt that. Don't let anyone that come and trick you about their beliefs. They're known as taqiyah, deception. For them it's allowed to lie to Ahlul Sunnah. They're allowed to lie to us and say, I don't believe in this. But if you begin to pester them and ask them, what do you say about Abu Bakr? What do you say about Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhumah? Keep on questioning them. Eventually the truth comes out. That possibly they could have been Muslims, or we accept there's some goodness amongst them. Say to them, are they believing individuals? Did they believe? Are they classified as the true leaders after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? And you find them begin to waver here and there. Because Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, their answer is clear. Their belief is clear about Khulafa al-Rashidun. That's Imam Malik, as you mentioned, you wouldn't notice and recognize who are Ahlul Shia. Who are these individuals who begin to make ghuluf al-ashkhas? Their people begin to defame the companions. Begin to defame. That's a clear symbol. Symbol of people, Ahlul Shia, wa Rawafida, wa Ithna Ashariya, all these groups and these sects that we find amongst these individuals. Wa amma Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah. They're those individuals who praise the companions. Yuhibbunahum jami'an. Praise all the companions. Make thana of them. Make madh of them. Praise them. Extol them. Remember them expressly or extensively throughout their lives. Remember these individuals and follow the footsteps of these individuals. So this is all ghuluf in ashkhas, extremity that we find, all based upon ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we find. And likewise we find that the real meaning of such ahadith, the person that reached iman kamil, the person who does not care about their neighbor, person who does not care about their Muslim brother, has not reached the pinnacle level of iman. And the iman mazalu naqis, this person's iman is still deficient. They may think they've encompassed or understood the pillars, the articles of faith. But as far as the Sharia is concerned, their iman is still deficient. They haven't reached the true level of iman. That's why in other narration, Muslim Imam Ahmad, that we find, لا يبلغ عبد الحقيقة الإيمان حتى يحب للناس ما يحب للنفس من الخير. In a Muslim Imam Ahmad, that we find, that has not reached the higher level of iman. Doesn't understand the pinnacle level of iman until he doesn't love for his brother the goodness what he loves for his own self. In other words, in the Sunnah of Imam Nasa'i, that we find, حتى يحب لأخيه حتى يحب لأخيه من الخير ما يحب لنفسه ما يحب لأخيه من الخير. He loves from the khair, from the goodness. When a person likes goodness for their own self, he wants that for their own fellow brother. And here you find this hadith being more accurate. A person could like for another Muslim what they like for their own self, but it could be a general likening. But this hadith mentions specifically من الخير, from the good things that you may want for your own self. That's why ulama mentioned you give sadaqah. Person shouldn't give sadaqah, which is possibly old clothing. That should be given to benefit people. But person should take opportunities inside their life to give their best clothing, to give new clothing. That's min al khair, from the highest level of khair, of goodness. A person gives a new gift, a new clothing for individuals. And that which has been narrated or mentioned by Aisha radiallahu anha, that every time she gave sadaqah, she gave charity, she would perfume it. She would perfume it, bless it, a good smell, good fragrance, and then present it. This is a lesson in itself for many of us individuals. That it may be khair, goodness, we give away old clothing, old ornaments are given away, emptying out the house, which is good. It will still benefit those individuals. But maybe we should sometimes in our life give the best of our garments, or buy new clothing, new garments, or new food, or whatever it may be, give it to these individuals, min al-khair, as this hadith it mentions. Al-Iman bid'un wa sab'una shu'ba. Iman is some 70 odd branches, as prophesied or mentioned by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. فَعَلَاهَا قَوْلُ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. The most highest level is a statement of La ilaha illallah. وأدناها, the most lowest branch of Iman, is إماتة الأذى عن الطريق, to take away harmful object away from the path. This hadith that we find, which is known as Shu'b al-Iman, the 70 odd branches of Iman. Imam al-Bayhaqi, in his famous risala, Shu'b al-Iman, collected these 70 plus 77 odd branches of Iman. Imam al-Bayhaqi also wrote a famous book talking about the seerah of the Prophet alayhi salam, entitled Dala'il al-Nubuwa. 8 volumes handwritten, printed in 4 volumes printed version. Dala'il al-Nubuwa, talking about mu'jizat al-Nabi. And it becomes incumbent upon us Muslims to read about the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, read about his ajaib. Likewise, Imam al-Asfahani also wrote a kitab called Dala'il al-Nubuwa, evidences of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Imam al-Suyuti talking about Isira al-Dala'il al-Kubra, al-Nubuwat al-Kubra, talking about the seerah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in 2 volumes that we find. Imam Qadi Iyad, his famous work, Al-Shafa fi Ta'arif al-Mustafa, talking about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that we find. رَكِّزُوا لَهَذَا فِي حَيَاتِكُمْ رَكِّزُوا عَلَى سُنَّتِهِ عَلَى سِيرَتِهِ. Read about the seerah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. قَرَى الْعَجَائِبْ, to read about his fadha'il, read about his dala'il nubuwa, talk about his evidences of why he's classified as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, because you find certain miracles in his etiquette towards al-masakeen, wal-du'afa, wal-yatama, towards the destitute, the dumb, trodden, the impoverished individuals, the weak individuals, the orphans. Read in his seerah, you see that about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, which gave him these mu'jizat, which entitled for him to be given, these miracles to be given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And likewise, we find that we all want paradise. In a statement which is a hadith which is da'if in a Muslim, Imam Ahmad, but the meaning here can encourage us. أَتُحِبُّ الْجَنَّةِ, do you love paradise? You want paradise as opposed to one individual. قُلْتُ نَعَمْ قَالَ فَحِبَّ لِيَحْخِيكَ مَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِكَ. You want paradise for yourself? Person said, yes, I do. Then love for your brother what you love for yourself. وَإِنْ كَانَ حَدِيثٌ ضَعِيفًا, even the hadith is da'if in its narration, but the meaning is crystal clear. The understanding is right there. All of us, that we want paradise. If you want paradise, then love for your brother what you love for yourself. And thus we find many ulama explaining the first hadith that we began. لَا يُؤْمِنَ أَحَدُكُمْ, none of you truly believe, entails عُمُومُ الْإِخْوَةِ, entails any form of brotherhood. Ulama have mentioned, وَحَتَّ إِنْ كَانُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ, even if there happens to be a disbelieving individual, you want khayr, you want goodness for a disbelieving individual. It's not to be restricted. You want goodness only for Muslims. You want goodness لجميع الناس. You want goodness for all of mankind. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ, O mankind, as the Quran mentions in Surah Al-Araf, إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا. Talking about أَوْصَافُ النَّبِي عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in his verses in Surah Al-Araf, he never said, O believers. He never said, O Muslims. He never said that. He said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ. He said, O mankind, indeed I am a messenger to all of you. That is the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. He will send you the mercy to all of the worlds. There's no distinction that a person thinks that the message is only for a Muslim, or only for certain individuals, or only for us to apply. That's when you read through the seerah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, another famous 2 volumes, Risala al-Doktora, that we find, if I'm not mistaken, حقوق النبي على أمته في ضوء الكتاب والسنة, talking about the rights of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام upon this Muslim Ummah based upon the Quran and the Sunnah, emphasizes inside this 2 volumes talking about the main theme. What is the main theme of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام that many of us have forgotten? دعوة التوحيد, the calling of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because many of us, we become very relaxed in this environment, living in a Western environment. What is our goal? What is our purpose? What is our intent? Let alone being inside this environment, being upon this earth. What was the main focus of the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? Was always giving da'wah ila tawheed. And as you find that some ulama mentioned, it is a slightly, maybe possibly a harsh statement. We just mention it, not to scare or to harm non-Muslims that we find. Some ulama mentioned not to even sit with them. And when you do sit with them, to have food or drink or to pass some time with them, what is the inner motive within yourself? The inner motive within yourself and your mind is to give da'wah to them. How many of us is that it become our inner motive? Yes, we work and we operate, we do various things with them that are needed. But we need to retune our mind, our belief and our intent of being in this environment, of any opportunity that we have, it should be give them da'wah. remind them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find that this da'wah or kindness and goodness is given to Muslims, non-Muslims, it makes no distinction. Because the most important kindness for the non-Muslim is this individual, لِكَيْ يَدْخُلْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ, that this person enters into Islam. And there's a strange point, the person who narrated this hadith, Abu Hamza, that we find, Anas ibn Malik. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed certain individuals to narrate certain hadith. That's ulama classified it as a science in itself. Just like you find Asbabul Nuzul. You find Asbabul Nuzul in the Quran, a certain verse set down for a certain reason. You find Asbabul Wurud. You find certain reasons why certain ahadith are mentioned, or why certain narrators or certain companions mention certain wordings of ahadith. Anas ibn Malik, just to help us to understand the context of this hadith and who this individual was. Anas ibn Malik, you find his father, you find Malik, kana kafira, was a disbelieving individual. When he heard about the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, fahajra, he left Makkah, he left the environment, and he traveled to the land of Sham. Famata kafira. فَأَبْغَضَ الرَّسُولِ, he hated the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, he hated him. He hated him so much he left the environment and made his hijrah. His wife bought Anas, bought her son and presented it in front of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and said, I want my son to serve you. Pay attention to this. His father died as a kafir, as a disbelieving individual, hated the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, hated him and left. And his son now is presented by the mother and said that I want this boy of mine, Anas, to serve you. And that's what brings to mind the famous hadith, خَدَمْتُ النَّبِيَّ عَلَيْهِ سَلَىٰهُ سَلَىٰهُ عَشْرَ سِنِينَ. Anas ibn Malik served the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام for 10 years. Not for 10 minutes, not for 10 days. He served him for 10 years. Served him for 10 years and the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام never once said to him, why do you do this? Why didn't you do it like this? If only you done it like this, if you done it like this. Ashra Sineen, 10 years, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam never rebuked him. Never rebuked him. Inna hadhi umur dunyawiyya. These are affairs of the dunya. Utrukul nas. Leave people alone, the affairs of the dunya. Makes no difference. A minute here, a day there, a month there, a time there. Makes no difference in your affairs. That's what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was. And that's what his mother said, I want him to serve you. He carried on serving the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And he became the close comrade, many narrations bringing the water to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. وَهَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. What is the reward of goodness but nothing but goodness? The Prophet alayhi salam looks at the future. He's been given the future. He's been given a deep understanding. That tayyib, his father is a disbelieving individual. But look what's happened. His own son comes. And from his loins and his lineage that we find, what a blessed individual that we find. That's the Prophet alayhi salam mentioned by this individual. فَتَقَبَّلَهُ النَّبِي عَلَيْهِ صَلَاةُ السَّلَامُ وَرَبَّاهُ. He kissed him and he nurtured him, he brought him up. And he said, اللَّهُمَ اكْفِرْ مَالَهُ وَوَلَدَهُ وَبَارِكَهُ فِيمَا عَطَيْتَهُ وَالْحَدِيثُ فِيمَا رَاهُ الْبُخَارِ وَمُسْلِمُ inside the Sahih. And then he prayed for him, bless him in his wealth, in his children, whatever you've given him. This is Anas ibn Malik. This is his father who rejects faith, who goes away from faith. The Prophet doesn't rebuke his son and say, your father was a kafir, your father hated me, your father was like this towards me, your father done this towards me. He never responded in that manner. He responded in the opposite. Showed the love, showed the affection, which strengthened the iman of Anas ibn Malik. And that's you find, man ahabba an yuzahzaha anil nar, whoever wants to be rescued from the hellfire, wa yadkhul al-jannah, falta'ti maniyatuhu wa huwa yu'min billahi wa yawm al-akhir. Whoever wants to be rescued from the hellfire and be saved from the punishment of the last day, let that individual come, or let death come upon that individual and that person has belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith then continues, وَلْيَأْتِ إِلَى النَّاسِ مَا يَحِبُّ أَنْ يُؤْتَى إِلَيْهِ. Come to people just like you expect people to come to you. Hadith inside Muslim that we find, Sahih Muslim, that the way that you approach people, or you want people to approach you, it should be the way that you approach them. You love that people speak to you with kindness, with goodness, with humbleness, with nice words, with good character, good behavior. Then come in that manner to the people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring the people in response back to you. That's how tab'atu shakhs, that's how every human being likes certain things inside their life. So first you expect that, do that in their own life, and then people return that goodness to that individual themselves. And like what you find, Imam Shaykh Al-Fawzan mentioned, أَنْ يَقْرَى الْمُسْلِمِ أَخِي مَا يَقْرَى مِنْ نَفْسِهِ. Person dislikes whatever they dislike for themselves, they dislike in it for another Muslim. فَكَمَا أَنَّمَا تَكْرَهُ لِنَفْسِكَ الشَّرْ وَالضَّرَرُ. Just like you don't like anything to harm you, you don't like anything bad to come across you, you should equally have that same feeling towards another Muslim. So not just the goodness. You don't want any troubles to befall you. You don't want any hardship to come upon you. Or any evil. There is no shirk, but longer than that we find. Because a shirk is not to be attributed, evil is not attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But any obstacles, any difficulties, you don't want them to befall you. Why do you want it to befall upon another Muslim, another individual? Shaykh Utaymeen rahmatullah alayhi mentions, وَالشَّخْصِ مَتَا لَمْ يُحِبُّ الْيَقِينَ مَا يُحِبُّ نَفْسِهِ كَانَ حَصُودًا. If you don't love for another Muslim what you love for your own son, you're a jealous individual. رَكِّزْ وَلَا أَذِي الْكَلِمَةِ. He says you're a jealous individual. Because if you don't want another non-Muslim to enter into Islam, you don't want another Muslim to have goodness, to have khayr, then you're jealous. Obviously we know that jealousy are anwar. There's various types of jealousy that exist inside the Sharia that have been mentioned. Imam al-Ghazali collected and mentioned some of them, and even as a side for Imam al-Ghazali, doesn't mean that we're praying and accepting his works and his teachings that we find, but to be fair, in terms of Mibab and Tazkir that we find, there are certain many beautiful, beneficial things that he's collected about spirituality to help the Muslim individual to develop themselves. And even as a side for Imam al-Ghazali, he gave up his views of Ash'ariyah that we find in his final works, talking about the creed of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'i, moved away from that. What people attribute to him in widely argued works like Ibana or other works that he wrote in, he clarified what he stands, his views regarding Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah. But any hal that we find, when he talks about al-hasad that we find, al-hasad yanqasimu ila thalathati aqsam. Jealousy can be divided into three broad categories that we find. And yatamanna zawalu ni'ma al-ghayr wa usulaha li nafsihi. The person wants the other person to lose all of their blessings, and the blessing is given to that individual. That's the ultimate level of jealousy that we find. That a person has another blessing, you want the person to lose that blessing, and you want all of that blessing to be given to you. The second type of jealousy that you find, you want that person to lose that blessing. وَإِنْ لَمْ تَحْسَنْ لَهُ. You want that person to lose that blessing, but you don't want it for your own self. You don't care who is given to you. You just want that person to lose that blessing. The third type of jealousy that you find, أَنْ يَتَمَنَّ زَوَالُ نِعْمَا عَنِ الْغَيْرِ وَلَكِنْ يَقْرَ زِيَادًا. Person wants that person to lose that blessing, or that person to have that blessing, but no more further blessing is given to that individual. These are anwa' al-hasad. These are types of hidden jealousy that some of us may have inside our lives. Inside our lives and inside our hearts. Person's got a blessing, you don't want that person to increase in any more blessing. Then nothing else should be given to that individual. And like what Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, إِذَا كَرِ الْعَبْدُ مَا عَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ بِهِ عَلَى غَيْرِهِ فَقَدْ حَسَدَهُ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَتَمَنَّ الزَّوَالِ. If you don't want another individual to have a blessing, or you don't want an individual to lose their blessing, but you hold some element of jealousy, then this is jealousy. No Muslim should hold jealousy towards another individual. And as we find, especially in spreading of khayr and goodness, a person should be forthright and coming out and spreading the goodness towards other individuals. And as we find, that this type of not being good towards other Muslims that we find is an element of jealousy, or not falling into understanding a hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Numerous ahadith that we find, Mathal al-Mu'min, you find the parable of believers towards other parable, towards another Muslim, is like one body. And I'm sure all of us, we memorize this hadith, that if one part of the body has a pain, the whole body feels that pain. What does that mean entail today? It's quite visible today, that Muslim Ummah is suffering just like many centuries ago it suffered, possibly suffering even more today that we find. But what do we find time and time again? When a suffering is highlighted, well, it doesn't concern me. It doesn't concern me. It's got nothing to do with me. This is probably their own situation, their own corruption in their belief, inside their innovation, or their own deviancy, or inside their own life. This all could be possibly true. This could all be reasons for the downfall of that segment of the Muslim Ummah. There's no doubt. But what is the response? Because these prophetic ahadith are for time. They never entailed or said that if a certain type of Muslim fall short, then you should help them. If certain Muslims who associate themselves with you, you should help them. If they follow your view in life, you should help them. The ahadith are generic in nature. Al-Muslim, Ahul Muslim. A Muslim is a brother to another Muslim. La yadlimuhu, wala yakhdiluhu, wala yakhbuluhu. Person is, doesn't oppress him, doesn't betray him, doesn't go against him. All generic ahadith. That's even in the Quran, it talks about this Muslim Ummah. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. Indeed, Muslims are believers, brethren to Allah. It doesn't classify that you are only a Muslim because this Muslim prays inside your masjid, or follows your imam, or follows your sheikh, or follows your madhab. That's not the context of the Quranic generic nature about Muslim Ummah. And it never classifies it in that manner. It openly discusses that we as Muslims take care of other Muslims. And as you find that the global hate to use that expression, the onslaught on the Muslims that we find, as many ulama have collected and said, that when a Muslim is being, may Allah forbid, being slaughtered or being tortured or being oppressed, no kafir stops there and says, and asks you, هل أنت على مذهب فلان? Are you Hanafiyan or Shafi'iyan or kada wa kada? Does a non-Muslim stop and say that individual? Are you this type of Muslim? Do you follow this madhab? Is this your sheikh? Is this your imam? Is this your masjid? Kalla. Have you ever heard that in history? That any non-Muslim stopped before executing another Muslim or harming another Muslim, asked them and made a differentiation and then let one go free and punish another individual? Yes, they do know that certain types of individual Muslims will be ferocious, will be victorious, will be strong in the iman, will be strong in the devotion. مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا أَهَدُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَمْتَظِرُ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. There are certain men that they know who they are, because the Quran describes them. مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ. From amongst the believers are certain men. They have remained true to the covenant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That whatever happens inside their life, they're going to be devoted. That's why these individuals, they know who these individuals are. They want to target these individuals because they've made a promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take their life in this dunya, or they'll be given the opportunity to carry on what they're doing. The key element that the ayah ends by mentioning, وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. These individuals, no matter what happens inside their life, their intentions never change. Their life never changes. Whatever scenario, whatever situation, whatever place, wherever you place them, they remain focused inside their life. And thus you find that they will begin to target these certain individuals, because you know, there's this famous saying, it only takes a few good men to change society. So they'll target few good men, who these individuals are, and bring them down one by one. The sad factor is, we as Muslims begin to target these individuals one by one. That's the sad factor that hurts me inside my heart. أَمَّا الْكُفَّارِ مَا أَحْتَمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمِيًا لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا day and night, they can plot and plan. It doesn't bother me one bit. Never has bothered me inside my life. وَأَمَّا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ إِخْوَانِنَا from our brothers who begin to plot and plan against other Muslims, or begin to derail other Muslims, look down upon other Muslims, and begin to bring them down. They need to think deeply about the imam. Think deeply about their life, about what do they really believe in. لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ الْيَخِينَ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ. Now you truly believe until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. وَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تمسك بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. As we mentioned, the generic ahadith talked about the Muslim Ummah that we find of generic verses out of the Quran. وَلَبِي وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Read the tafsir of these ayat. It's at tafsir Ibn Kathir. You begin to understand the development of the Muslim Ummah of seeking an element of unity and kindness and goodness. And that's why Shaykh Utaymeen Rahmatullah mentioned that it is incumbent upon this Muslim Ummah to be one hand, to be one force, to be one form of unity. That we find is what all these verses of the Quran and prophetic traditions are telling us to do. And as we find, we begin to unify and strengthen ourselves. We find the Quran describes that your wing or your strength is taken away from you, and the weakness begins to develop inside this Muslim Ummah that we find. And like what we mentioned, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. Indeed, believers are brethren towards one another. Likewise, the Quran mentions, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. They begin to spend and give, even though they have a dire need for their own selves. They give, even though they need that wealth, they need that property themselves, they need that wealth themselves, they give it. And whoever removes the covetous, the greed out of their hearts, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Then indeed, those are the successful individuals. And as we find, if we read the tafsir of these ayat, that those are successful individuals, or they spend even have a dire need amongst their own selves. In the tafsir of these ayat that we find that once an individual came to the Prophet ﷺ in a state of dire hunger. and he asked him for some food. And the Prophet at his general practice or his general home didn't have much food. That's why you find Aisha narrates that days, months would go by that we'd hardly eat any meat. That we eat the two black substances, date and water. That's the household of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Focus upon this. That the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, months would go by that would hardly be a proper meal be given to them. So he said, who will take this man and take them as their guest and take care of this individual? فَقَوْمَ رَجُلْ مِنَ الْأَنصَارِ. A person from the Ansar, he stood up. And he said, I will take this guest of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So he came back home and he said to his wife, prepare for this guest of ours. He's not our guest. فَإِنَّهُ ضَيْفْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He's not our guest. He's the guest by default of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So prepare the meal for this individual. She said to him, Ya ayyuha rajul. She said, oh man, there's nothing inside the house. There's nothing inside the house except for a small amount of food called لِأَوْلَادِنَا. A small amount of food for our children. He said, put out the lights and begin to stir the pot. And tell the children that the food is being prepared until they eventually they fall asleep. And then present the small food that we have, present it to the guests of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So they done this. Focus upon this hadith, this scenario. Presented this. In the morning, you find the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam knows what's taking place. فَقَالَ لَهُ عَجِبَ اللَّهُ أَوْ ضَحِكَ اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was startled, marveled, praising. Oh, he smiled, he laughed. And this is كَمَا يَلِيقُ الْجِلَالِ بِجَلَالِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. These sifat are befitting the majesty of how they are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has seen, does see and knows what these individuals have done. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising these individuals. He knows what you've done. And as you find that such verses are made to reveal about such individuals. وَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنْفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةٌ. They give even though they have a dire need in their own self. This is what Islam is. This is what being a Muslim is. And a person gives and they have a dire need themselves. Who knows that? Only Allah. Only Allah knows that. We should develop that inside our life. A moment, even once, مَرَّ فِي حَيَاتِنَا, once inside our life, that you only have that small amount of savings, or that small amount of wealth. No one knows about it. But you give it away, لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. For what reason? To save yourself from the punishment of the hellfire. Save yourself, protect yourself from the nar, وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ قَمَرٍ. Even be half a date. Even half a date shields you. As-sadaqatu burhan. Sadaqa is an evidence for you. Sadaqa is a shield, is a protection. وَحَتَّى فِي الْقَبْرِ. That you find a person going inside the grave, punishment could be coming for the individual. Sadaqa will come and become a veil, become a barrier for that individual. Protect the individual from the punishment. Sadaqa will come on the day of judgment, multiplied many times over. Mountains of gold. All of us, we are bashar. We would like to multiply our wealth inside this dunya. But the multiplication inside the akhirah, ad'afun kathira, isn't just once, isn't just 10 times, isn't 100 times, it's many times manifold. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we multiply that for that individual. These are all encouragements for us to do what to benefit ourselves. لَن تَنَالُ بِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. That's why even the person who narrates this hadith, وَمَنْ يُوْقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ, is talking about, many of the Rabbah mentioned the hadith narrated by Abu Talha. And Abu Talha, this ayat, وَلَن تَنَالُ بِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You're never going to attain piety if you don't spend it what you love. Read that tafsir Ibn Kathir once again about Abu Talha. He had a garden that everybody in Medina knew about, his garden. The orchards, the vineyards, the plush fruits, the date palm trees, everything, everyone knew about it. وَحَتَّى الرَّسُولُ. Read inside the hadith, inside Sahih Muslim, not mistaken, inside the fada'il of Abu Talha that we find, inside Bukhari as well, Manaqib, talking about Abu Talha, talking about him. Even the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would drink from the fresh water, would drink from the fresh stream. Everyone knew about these gardens. When he heard these ayat, لَن تَنَالُ بِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You're never going to attain piety until you don't spend of the things that you love. What did he want to do? He wanted to give the whole of the garden away. All of it away. The Prophet just rebuked him. You leave behind something to benefit your family members so they don't need to beg or ask people. That should be enough to leave behind. But the rest, the whole of his garden, rest of everything, just give it away. And he gave it away because he wanted to attain piety. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to have a concern of this Muslim Ummah. Not just on a basis of academia and the rhetoric that we read, the theological discussion that we have when we study, but begin to develop that inside of life to take care of this Muslim Ummah, firstly calling towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, encouraging people to come to the life of the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi wasalam, and then begin to have charitable actions and works that we find, as many of the ulama mentioned, one of the best ways of giving da'wah is charity, of kindness and goodness that you find towards non-Muslims. Hatta you find talking about this 8 categories of people eligible to give zakah to, whereby it mentions that those people to bring their hearts close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama tafaseer have debated about this. Who are those individuals to bring the hearts close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? 2 views exist amongst ulama tafaseer. One is those Muslims who may not be the best of Muslims to strengthen their hearts. And the other view, which exists and is acceptable to this day, is disbelieving individuals. You can give zakah to kuffar, to disbelieving individuals, to bring them, encourage them to come into Islam. Discussion takes place inside the 8 categories of eligible people of zakah inside Surah Tawbah, verse number 60, if I'm not mistaken. Even disbelieving individuals are receivers or recipients of a zakah to encourage them to enter into Islam. If this is a zakah, then think about a sadaqah, to give gifts, to do things for non-Muslims to encourage them. Tahadu, tahabu. Give gifts, it creates love between one another. Gifting the Quran, gifting the Sunnah, gifting fine character, good behavior, etiquette that we find, is all the way of a Muslim to bring these individuals close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allaha wa malaikatu salluna ala nabi, ya ayyuhallazina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidu majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali.
كتاب الله ترقى جنانه وتنى العظيم.